From WXXI News, I'm Michelle Faust, and this is Connections. Evan Dawson is out today. Our connection this hour goes to the 1890s, before Puerto Rico became a U.S. Commonwealth. Domingo Delgado emigrated from Puerto Rico to work for Eastman Kodak starting in 1897, establishing non-European exports. Waves of migrants continued to move to the area after serving in World War II and the Korean War. The 1950s and 60s saw waves of migrants from Puerto Rico to New York State. They came to work. Many came to work in manufacturing, and others came to work in agriculture. This weekend, Rochester will celebrate 45 years of the Puerto Rican Festival, August 1st at Frontier Field. August 2nd will be the 10th anniversary for the Puerto Rican Parade. My guest this hour to talk about this is Gina Cruz, for the Parade Committee President, Orlando Ortiz, who is the president of the Puerto Rican Festival, and Julio Vasquez. He's an educator and a leader with the Ibero-American Action League and the author of Journey of a Puerto Rican Jíbaro. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll start with you, Orlando. Can you talk to me about what people can expect if they come out this weekend to the festival?
Absolutely. So this weekend we're celebrating our 45th annual Puerto Rican Festival at Frontier Field, and that's August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And primarily, obviously, we have all the good food. We have children activities. We have amateur boxing. We have great entertainment. Obviously, the souvenir shops and all your typical vendors that you see throughout. In addition to that, we have the Staff Sergeant Javier Ortiz 5K race and walk. And that's our fifth annual for that. So definitely a lot of activities going on during the weekend. It's a pretty jam-packed event. So
one thing that struck me when I looked before I saw what the lineup was going to be for this year, I had seen some of the people who'd come in the past. I saw that Ruben Blades had been here before, Jerry Rivera, La India, so many big names. You know, maybe if you're not as in tune with Puerto Rican music, that you might not necessarily know, but really big names. How do you get these people to come out?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate that, one, we've had great weather in recent years. So obviously the weather affects the year after's festival. We have a great support from our community and also from great sponsors. The city of Rochester is obviously a great one. And, you know, we want to make sure that we continue this festival here in Rochester and the community continues to support that. So having that support allows us to bring, you know, the type of artists that we have.
Well, after this winter, how were you able to get our headliners this year?
I'm sorry?
After this winter, it wasn't the best winter.
No, it was not. It was not. But again, we're very fortunate to have that support. And I think people are very excited to celebrate and have great weather as well.
So tell me some of the headliners that we're expecting in the bigger shows.
Sure. On Friday, we have Toby Love and Zion Lennox, which is a bachata and then reggaeton on Friday. On Saturday, we have Domingo Quiñones, which is salsa, and then Grupo Manía, merengue. And then on Sunday, we end with Tito Nieves, who's a salsa legend. And so we have a pretty diverse mix of genres this year. Typically, we've relied heavily on the salsa, but this year we wanted to kind of give them a broad spectrum of everything that we listen to. So I think people are very excited about that.
Is that broadening to get maybe a more diverse audience of ages and demographics?
It changes every year. I think overall the festival itself appeals to a very diverse crowd, even though the name is the Puerto Rican Festival. We do have a pretty diverse population that comes out to support the event, not only Latinos but also different cultures. So even though the name itself lends to Puerto Rican culture, we don't strictly just focus on that. We want to make sure that the type of music we bring is representative of the community that we have. So every year it changes. This year we just wanted to go with a more diverse. Last year was just a phenomenal lineup that we couldn't pass up with all the artists, and it was truly a great event last year with all those artists.
Now, Gina, can you talk to me? Now, some people might get confused that the parade and the festival are separate. So, Gina, talk to me a little bit about what people can expect in the parade and what you've got going on there.
Well, this year the theme is celebrating the youth, and it is August the 2nd. We have lots of music, arts, dancing, costumes, floats that will be there this year. Our grandma's show is Ruby Melendez. She's a senior. She just graduated from Monroe High School, and also Hector Argonzoni, who was with the City of Rochester for 34 years in the Youth Bureau. The parade starts at Liberty Pole Way at 10. Well, the proclamation starts at 10. The parade starts at 11, and it goes down Main Street, making a right on Plymouth, and entering Frontier Field into the festival.
So someone could follow that parade route and then end out in Frontier Field and enjoy the festivities. Now, Julio, do you remember some of the first festivals when they were getting started? What are your first memories of some of these Puerto Rican festivals?
Absolutely. I came here when I was 13 years old. This was 1959. Then in 69, I returned to the island. Then I came back in 71, and in 72, I ran the Puerto Rican Festival. I was asked to do that. But the festival started in 1970. That was the first one. And basically what the people, the Latino or the Puerto Rican people of Rochester, they just wanted to create what is known in Puerto Rico, the Fiesta Patronales. This was a week-long celebration with all kinds of activities, pageantry, and even gambling to some extent. They wanted to create that, and that's how it started. And at that time, it was a week-long Puerto Rican festival. And it started at Brown Square Park. That's basically where we were having it there for almost 10 years. Eventually, of course, it evolved. Back in 1985, due to a leadership crisis at Ibero and a change of leadership, the festival was let go because during that time, Ibero was responsible for running the festival. And the Spanish Action Coalition picked it up and ran with it. But it became a three-day event, which is only, you know, now it's three days event. And it's well organized and well run today. But before that, it was a whole week event, a carbon copy of the Fiesta Patronales. Now, it also was very grassroots type of thing. And we had most of the entertainment at that time was basically local. We didn't go outside at that time. We didn't have the money, really. We didn't charge, so we didn't have the money to do that, although the city always supported the event. But we had a very diversified musicians groups in the city from the Puerto Rican community, and they all participated. And one evening, Wednesday night, used to be the Jibaro night, and we had people from the community who came and tried their talent, como trovadores, you know, singers. I remember, for example, our first police officer, Montalvo. Felix Montalvo was, you remember that, right? He was a trovador. So he was there along with many other well-known Puerto Ricans today, like Pedro Nunez and all these people. They were part of the event. So it's a great event, and it still is. And even though it's only 3 days now, it is a great event.
Anyway, it seems to me, you were saying, you want a diverse group to come out. You want people to come out. This is for the whole community. I wonder, you know, do you think that this is an opportunity for people to really understand more of the Puerto Rican culture? Because Puerto Ricans are a minority in Rochester, but a large one. And there's a lot of things that people probably don't know. What do you think that people are learning coming out, Orlando?
Well, I think one of the things, and to Julio's point, we want to make sure that we have a well-organized festival. And one of the things that for the past 5 years we've been doing is to educate others about our culture via other events during the year. So one of the things as I became president was to looking at the organization itself as a as an organization. We're not just Puerto Ricans for the 3 days. We want to make sure that we're showcasing our culture year round. So we have parranda in January. We do kind of caroling around, and we have the Musica Jibara live band playing. We have the wine tasting paired with Puerto Rican food. We have a Latino film festival. We have a comedy show with Latino comics. So these events throughout the year that we're trying to showcase who we are, you know, and just educate others about our culture besides what they might see on the TVs. And obviously during the weekend of the festival, we want to make sure that, you know, we showcase our music, our food, educate the children about our culture, and just have a better, I guess, idea of who we are and what we represent.
Now, Gina, there are some of those that are happening even today, right? You're involved in an event that will be happening 5:30 this evening. Can you talk to us about that?
2013, last year, I gathered with Orlando Ortiz and Osborne Box, also Mercedes Vasquez and 1199, and putting together a peace event to bring out peace and unity to the community and all of our events. We welcomed every single event that happened last year through from the month of July to September. And we gathered together. Each one had a few minutes to talk about the event. And then we gathered together to send out the message to the community to let them know that we're united and that we will love peace in the community throughout the entire time. Because a lot of times that's one of the biggest issues. They talk about that there's no unity between us, that there's always all this commotion. Well, we wanted to show something saying that, no, we're connected together. And we brought labor, religious, and political community and the community members together all up under one area.
Now, Gina, you were pointing out to me when we spoke on the phone before you came in that the theme this year is about the youth and looking towards the future. Now, you were telling me that that's very important to you. Talk to me more about that.
It's important to me because one of the biggest things is we consider them the future, but actually they are today. So going to the festival, we want them to come and see the festival and be there for the festival and see the activities that are there as well as the parade. But we also want to stop all that happens afterwards. So we give them the opportunity to do that in a parade, show your pride without violence. So basically we said, let's spotlight the youth and anybody who's been out there, like Hector Argonzoni, who has been out there for these youth for 34 years.
Yeah. Julio, I wonder what aspirations and hopes you have for the youth. I think part of having a festival like this is to teach them about their culture that maybe if they grew up or born and raised in Rochester, they're not necessarily going to be having that same connection con la isla, as it said, you know, with Puerto Rico and that culture. What is it that you're hoping that they get out of it?
Well, I hope that they'll come to the festival and they enjoy the festival, first of all. But secondly, try to understand, learn from the cultural activities. What is it that makes us Puerto Rican? I mean, why are we so proud to be Puerto Ricans? And unfortunately, if you ask a lot of young people today, why are you proud to be Puerto Rican? Most likely they won't be able to respond to that question. So my hope is that they, you know, learn really what Puerto Rican culture is and at least get a taste to it so that it sparks some sort of interest in learning more about the culture, because, you know, one event is not going to do that much if you're really interested. But what it will do is hopefully is to spark some interest so that you can go on and try to learn more. And there is, you know, vast information out there in the Internet and through all the means about learning about what it means to be a Puerto Rican. What is a Boricua? I mean, and that's where you should be. And you should be a student of what it is to be a Puerto Rican and then be proud about that.
Mm-hmm. That's something that you've worked with as far as your background in education.
That's true.
And leading mm-hmm. with bilingual education. Talk to me a little bit about the kind of role modeling that's allowed in the classroom for these young people.
Right. Well, we have been advocating for bilingual education since 1969, both in the city school district and eventually in 2000 we established a charter school and we named it Eugenio Maria de Hostos. Mm-hmm. The reason we chose Eugenio Maria de Hostos is because he's a historical figure in our culture, our history.
A revolutionary
man who believed, it was really a civil rights leader, and he was considered the educator of America. That's how big he was because of all his contribution to education in South America. So he's considered el educador de America. And we chose him because we wanted to provide a good example for our children to emulate and to look up to. And in our school, we do all kinds of things that to bring out that culture, to make students feel good about themselves. I strongly believe that one way of motivating children to learn is to make them feel good about who they are, and if they feel good about who they are, they will respond. You've seen a lot of example on that. So that's what we're all about.
For our listeners, if you have any questions about the Puerto Rican parade or festival or Latino culture, the number is 1-844-295-TALK, 1-844-295-8255. Now, Orlando, I'm imagining, you are a leader in the community. You're working with the festival. What are some of your goals and hopes for the youth?
Well, To Julio's point, I want to make sure that we are a vehicle to kind of reinvigorate the youth and to learning more about Puerto Rican culture or just about their culture in general. Quite often we get questions from the community saying, why can't we change the name of the festival to kind of more Latino centric? So my hope is that there's other cultures out there that would like to emulate what we're doing as a Puerto Rican festival, and I've extended my hand and our hand to help them with that. But again, to reinvigorate the youth into kind of owning who they are, learn about, who they are, and being able to represent their culture in the best possible way.
Yeah, today we're speaking about the Puerto Rican festival, the parade, and I want to talk a little bit about media portrayals of Latinos, especially in the Rochester area. One of the first interviews that I did when I came here was with Hilda Rosario Escher from Ibero. And what she said to me in the interview is something that stuck with me and something that I have kind of played back a few times in my getting to know Rochesters. I've only been here a few months. And one thing she said was, we are invisible. She said, Latinos, she was speaking mostly in the country. Latinos in this country, their issues aren't necessarily addressed or looked at. And she said, specifically in Rochester, a lot of the issues are ignored. I wonder if you feel the same way, Gina.
I feel to a certain extent we are ignored, but it's up to us as leaders in the community to educate and let people know that the history and the culture of being a Latino, having pride in being who we are. The biggest thing is that we also need to have leadership in what we do and take charge of it, be an example for these youth, each one teaching one, putting them under our wing, showing them the things that are available to them, the history, as Julio said, and also the fact that with the media, you're going to get that, the negativity all the time. No matter where you go, it's going to be a negativity. People love negativity. But we need to start spotlighting more of the positive things that are going on in the community with the Hispanic community.
Yeah. Orlando, did you want to join?
Yeah, and to Gina's point, and that's one of the main reasons why over the past 5 years, the festival has done events throughout the year, is to rekindle those relationships with the community, with people that may not necessarily attend the festival, for whatever reason, to kind of rekindle those relationships so that they can start supporting our events. And whenever there is an issue facing the community, that we can also join forces and be a more powerful, union. And to Gina's point also, with the peace event today, that, again, we're showcasing that we're a strong front, and that whenever there's any issues, we could come together in the future.
Julio, do you agree with Hilda Rosario Escher's point of Latino invisibility? Do you see it the same way, and how can we get past that?
She has a point. I think we are when it comes to all the good things that are happening in our community. I mean, there's tons of stuff that is happening in our community, from the creation of Eugenia Maria de Hoz to the festivals to the Ibero-American Action League and all the institutions that we have created in the last 30, 40 years. And the fact that we are participating in every level of government, that many of our people are the leaders of our institutions, the city school district, city government, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, what happens is that because the media is in the business of reporting and sensationalizing certain events or stories, we unfortunately get caught up in stone stories that are not to the best interest of our community. And so the portrayal of our community usually comes very negative, because that's what people can relate to, because that's what they report. So if, you know, what we should do is begin to, and this is not easy because we don't have the control of the media, but is to begin to, or continue, because we have done that in the past anyway, and we do it all the time, is insist on a coverage of more positive things that are happening in our community.
Do you think that having a festival, having a parade, adds to that and destroys some of those stereotypes?
No. I think the festival is a great way of promoting who we are in the community and putting out the really positive things about ourselves. And so is the parade. I mean, it's interesting, because in the past, when we started the festival back in the 70s, the parade and the festival were together. It was one. The festival ran both. But now there's two organizations, and that's great, because you have different people running this, and this is very good. But, you know, the media obviously tend to focus on some of the negative stuff that happens after the festival, which is totally, totally out of the festival. It has nothing to do with the festival and the parade. They're just some people came together a long time ago and did some stupid thing, and because of that, the media focused on it and became a big thing, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Orlando, you look like you want to say something.
Well, yeah, every year, Monday morning, I'm in the media talking about incidents that happened after a festival ended, and I agree with Julio that a lot of the positive stuff that we do as a festival organization doesn't get covered. Granted, there is some coverage of the festival leading up to the festival and during the festival. But in comparison to what the media coverage we get that Monday morning is very minute. And then in addition to all the events that we do year-round, we don't really get that coverage. So although we do get some of it during the festival weekend, again, it's very minute to the amount we get that Monday. And it's unfortunate that we could have a great festival with over 25,000 people, no arrests, maybe one fight. I'll take that any year. And it's unfortunate that once the festival ends, folks decide to do certain other things on, you know, other streets in the city. And that's really damaging the image of the festival. And then as a festival board now, we have to deal with the repercussions.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to add to what he was saying. It's unfortunate that both the parade and the festival have to be looked at in that way, because in reality, we're inviting people to come to the parade and show that pride. We're inviting people to come out and get educated on what's going on. And when you go to parades out in New York City, you see that orgullo, the pride that everybody has with all their flags, swinging them everywhere and doing things. And that's what we ask people to come out and do and enjoy themselves at both events. And although we're separate entities and have no legal bound, okay, we connect every year and talk and say, this is our theme this year. How do you feel? Oh, what do you think we should do? What can we collaborate together? We go to each other's events. If I can't make it, someone from my team goes to theirs, he sends somebody to ours. So we are basically working together. We just want the community to work with us as well. And instead of doing that at the end of the festival, come to the parade on Saturday. Every year, except last year, it's usually the same weekend. Okay, that Saturday we come to the we have the parade.
Mm-hmm. So we want people to come to the parade and enjoy the festivities. They can wave the flags.
Yes, and get educated, because a lot of people bring, every year we have a different theme. Last year we talked about our culture, our history. So we had the El Taino, the Taino Indian, the African, everything, and the Spaniards all on our float. So every year is a different theme where you could get educated on the different cultures and arts and dance of being a Latino.
Now, we have a caller who is not on the air, but has asked the question if we're talking about a Puerto Rican festival or Latino festival, or why are we using two different terms? Now, I've used both terms because I'm trying to be inclusive, as, you know, Puerto Ricans fall under the term Latino, and the Latino community in the Rochester area, the last I looked, there was about 50,000 people in Monroe County. So what's the proper term? What would you say, Julio?
It is a Puerto Rican festival.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. Of course, we use the term Latino, Hispanic interchangeably, but it's a Puerto Rican. It was founded by Puerto Ricans, and it's a Puerto Rican festival. It's important to note that according to 2010 census, there's almost 60,000 Hispanics in Monroe County. 70% of that, those are Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. So the Hispanic community of Rochester has been from the start. If you go back to the 40s, it's basically Puerto Rican. Now, it's Orlando said, of course, you know, the festival is inclusive and try to include everybody, and hopefully everybody will join us in the festival and enjoy our festivities and our, you know, music and everything. But it is, from my perspective, it's a Puerto Rican festival.
Now, you said you've been approached by certain groups who want to make it a Latino festival. You made the point, yeah, the majority in this community of Latinos are Puerto Rican.
Yeah, I wouldn't say groups, but what I would say is certain individuals might come every year and say, hey, why don't we have this festival? Why don't we have that festival? And there are other organizations, like, for example, the Dominican population, they have their own festival, which whenever they need help, we actually, you know, counsel them and advise them if needed. And so every year there's, you know, some folks might feel they need to be included in the Puerto Rican festival. One of the things that, like last year, for example, we saw a lot of Panamanian flags because of Ruben Blades there, Venezuela from Oscar de León. So it was great to see all those different flags being represented. And then whenever the artists are on stage, they can, you know, call them out, shout them out during the weekend. And that's why what I said was, we get the support from many, many different populations. They know the name of it is Puerto Rican Festival, but within the Puerto Rican Festival, we're very inclusive of their culture as well. Even some of the food that we have is not all Puerto Rican food. We have Dominican food. We have South American food. So we're really trying to cater to everybody. But, you know, for now, their name remains a Puerto Rican festival.
Yeah, and it is the majority culture within the Latino cultures that are represented and are here in the Rochester area. And it's important to note that there are 21 Spanish-speaking countries in the world, and all of these people have their own idea. unique cultures and their own way of expressing. But at the end of the day, we can all speak to each other in Spanish, or right. even if we speak English in this country, we have similarities, many differences, but many similarities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I just want to add to what Orlando said. The parade also is inclusive to all cultures. It's not just Puerto Ricans in there. We have every Hispanic, Bolivia, Cuban, Dominican. Everyone is represented in our parade. We also celebrated 1 year. We are one to show the community that we can all get together. And myself and Orlando also help out with the Hispanic Heritage Month, where we can branch out and have that information out there to everybody about being inclusive, too. Mm-hmm.
But before we take a break, I want to take just a moment to listen to one of our headliners, one of the more famous, that I think my grandmother still has some of those LPs, of Tito Nieves. We're going to listen to a little bit of Entrega Total. We're talking about the Puerto Rican Festival and the Puerto Rican Parade here on Connections. I'm Michelle Faust, in today for Evan Dawson. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. And if you'd like to join us, give us a call, 844-295-8255, 844-295-TALK. We'll be back after a quick break. You're listening to member-supported public radio, AM 1370, FM 91.5 HD2 in Rochester, or FM 89.5 in the Finger Lakes. This is Michelle Faust in for Evan Dawson. Join us Thursday on Connections. We'll discuss the Gap Elimination Act and New York's model for school funding. Superintendents for rural districts say they're facing a fiscal cliff. And in the second hour, dating and domestic violence. It's a seldom discussed issue that touches all communities. We'll discuss the problem, possible solutions, and support. It's all coming up Thursday on Connections.
Opening this week, The Little Theater, A Most Wanted Man, is the last independent film that Rochester's own Philip Seymour Hoffman starred in. When a brutally tortured immigrant turns up in Hamburg's Islamic community, laying claim to his father's ill-gotten fortune, German and U.S. security agencies take a close interest. As the clock ticks down and the stakes rise, the race is on to establish this most wanted man's true identity. Oppressed victim or destruction bent extremist? See details at thelittle.org.
We're back with Connections. I'm Michelle Faust, hosting today in Evan Dawson's stead. Our guests this hour are Gina Cruz, who's the Parade Committee President for the Puerto Rican Parade, or Orlando Ortiz, President of the Puerto Rican Festival. Julio Vasquez is the author of The Journey of a Puerto Rican Jíbaro. If you'd like to join us, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Now, we're talking a little bit about representation of Latinos in the media. We talked a little bit about I think it's fair to say that you're saying that some of the stuff that happens after the festival maybe is blown a little bit out of proportion, but there are some stats that can't be ignored about Blacks and Latinos in the city of Rochester. If you look at in the schools, particularly as we spoke about education, the 2009-2010 cohort in the Rochester City School District, there was a report from there was a report that came out that said 9% of black males graduated in 4 years, 10% of Latino males, and that's compared to 31% of white males. What can we do? You made part of the festival, part of the parade, looking towards the youth and looking towards the future. What other things can be done to change these statistics and get more young men, especially young Latino men, graduating and becoming representative of their culture?
From my standpoint, I think the mentoring and role modeling is a big issue. I think that us as leaders, we should be continue to engage or re-engage with not only high schoolers but younger Latino kids, just to make sure they have somebody to look up to. You know, we don't really know what's going on in their homes and all that. So we want, from my standpoint, I've seen a good connection with some of my mentees over the years where they could come to me and, you know, ask for advice, or maybe their parents never went to college. They can come to me and ask, what do I do to go to college, or whatever the case is, and just so they could have somebody to look up to and follow in their footsteps.
Now we have a caller on the line with a question. Hector, you're on Connections.
Good afternoon. A big hello to Orlando and Julio and Gina. This is Hector Argonzoni. Just wanted to comment a little bit about some of the conversation that's going on. I've been an advocate for the festival and for the parade for many, many years. We started back in Brown Square when I was a youth, and the youth was very involved in both the festival and the parade. And it was great for me to see that this year the focus is on young people again, and that hopefully we can stimulate them. And I agree with Orlando. We need to start mentoring our young people. I put in 35 years in city recreation working with young people, and unfortunately, we don't see a lot of our Latino youth participating in the many wonderful programs that the city has to offer. And a lot has to do with, outreach and getting out in our community and just making parents aware of the kinds of programs and the things that the city has to offer with regards to mentoring and programming. Sometimes in the Latino families, we tend to be a little overprotective of our young people, and we need to let go a little bit and let them come out and participate in the community. I think that those of us that grew up in Rochester and were involved in the development, in the process of this community, we benefited from, good mentoring and good people in our community. You know, we're a humble people, but we're respectable people. We're people that take great pride in our culture, and it's important for us to be able to continue and to be able to offer our young people more knowledge when it comes to, their beginnings or their culture. The festival, in my opinion, has always been the Puerto Rican festival. We started many years ago, and it should continue. But again, as Orlando said, we should be able to help other members of the Latino community to either organize or create their own. It was great last year to have Rubén Blades and Calderón and see other folks coming in and participating and enjoying our festival. And with regards to the media always drives me crazy because every Monday, as Orlando said, I cringe to look at the paper or to turn on the news, because instead of celebrating the greatness of the wonderful times that we had at the festival and the parade, we are concentrating on a few irresponsible people that are out there creating havoc for the community, and it becomes our problem. And sometimes I think the media plays into it, and I think sometimes young people take advantage of the fact that they're going to be watched, and they tend to act up. That's my two cents for the day. Hope you have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Hector. It's interesting what Hector says there about saying that people thinking, I'm going to be on the news if I go out and create a ruckus, as opposed to if I go to the parade where I'm supposed to have fun and have a more, I guess, a structured ruckus.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Hector. He is our Grand Marshal, and I believe you can see why he's our Grand Marshal with the way he spoke with regards to what he does in the community. He has been a great mentor for many people, but that is where we need to start. We need to start mentoring and following up, not just mentoring, but following up yearly when they're no longer our mentors, our mentees, rather. One of the things about the Puerto Rican parade is that yearly we have youth in the parade as volunteers. And regardless if the theme is based on the youth, they're going up and down the streets, helping the street logistics team, checking people and do things, and they love it. As far as media, this year they can come down if they want to. We have coverage from every station this year, newspaper as well, and Imagen and La Voz are going to be there as well. We have Channel 8, Channel 10, Channel 13 who've confirmed that they're going to be there this year as well. So if they want to be seen, let them be seen in the parade this year.
Okay. And we've got right now Lawrence on the line. Welcome to Connections, Lawrence.
Thank you. Buenas tardes y que viva Puerto Rico.
Long live Hola.
Puerto Rico. Hola, Father.
I want to challenge the guest. The Puerto Rican Festival has been around for a long time, and thanks to those who have kept going. And also the parade has come back, and thanks to those who brought it back. In some ways, the festival and the parade is the same festival and parade as the early days, but in some ways it's different. And so in what ways has the festival and the parade changed, both positive and negative? How have they matured, and maybe has anything been lost?
Now, Julio, I'm going to direct that question to you because you've got a little bit more experience in the area.
Right. Well, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And I think part of the problem is there's now it's a very short event. And it's very well controlled and so on and so forth. But I think that one of the things that we need to do if we think about going to do some of the things that we used to do before, and that is to concentrate on having more cultural activities during the festival. I know that we have some. We have, and we always do, but in the old days, we used to devote the whole night to, for example, to música jíbara, and today we don't do that. The other thing was to bring talent from the community and let them, shine. People who could sing and were trovadores in our community, and all that has been gone away. And I understand why. I mean, the festival, as I said, now is short and is packed with a lot of things, a lot of good things. But somehow I think that at some point we need to figure out how to bring some of that back. And I think Father is correct. Father Tracy is correct. But let me also talk a little bit about the community. We have, in Rochester, we talk about the two Rochester, the thriving Rochester and, of course, the poor Rochester. Fortunately, in our community, we have also created that. We also have that. 33% of our people in the city, Hispanic, living in the city, live below the poverty line. And what's happening? Well, we have a job market that is very high tech, and there is a correlation between good education and good jobs, and we are falling behind because a lot of our kids are not finishing high school, not going on to get a good education, and we need to change that. And a lot has to do with ourselves. We have to do it. We have to take ownership of that. The First Lady was talking to a group of Latinos in New York City the other day, and she said, "You know, your community, your leadership, you have to start emphasizing education. And today's labor market is education, 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 as you say in real estate. Location, location, location. Today is education, education. And we have to, not only as the leaders begin to emphasize education, but also, you know, the families. We all have to somehow figure out how to keep our kids in school, or otherwise we are going to be in this situation for a long time, because the job market is getting more and more high tech. So that's the issue, the big issue. That's one of the reasons why I think that we need to provide all kinds of educational alternatives. That's why we started a charter school. In our school, for example, we have an extra extended day, and during the extended day we provide mentorship to every child. And we stay in touch with the parents. We follow up with the parents consistently, especially when a child is not is absent. Immediately, we make a call at the same day. We need to do all those things because we must continue to emphasize education. We have to reach it up.
Gina, it looks like you have something you'd like to add to that about education and mentorship of youth.
Yes, I do. As a civil rights activist myself, I would say also not only educate them on moving on to college, but also the trades. A lot of kids do not want to go on to college. So letting them know their options, because there are a lot of paying labor jobs or trade jobs that are out there that they can make a great living off of if they don't want to go on to a four-year college or a two-year college. Once they're in there, if they decide they want to go on to college and need the college, although I emphasize college, you know, not every kid wants to go to college. So letting them know the alternatives that are out there for them so that they, if they're hands-on kids, letting them know that these are their options. And when I go to the parade, I'm going to say that the positivity of it is that it's grown. Okay, it went from being on Clinton and having 25 groups to going to the streets of downtown and having up to 75 groups entering into the parade and over thousands of a participant. One of the things that it would be a negative is we don't show much of our culture and customs. I think that's a big thing we emphasize every year, but I think maybe throughout the next couple of years, because I think people are starting to look at that, they would see to bring in the costumes, to show the Blena dresses, the nice big costumes that they wear in Puerto Rico or in any of the other countries when they are marching in a parade. So those are the positives and the negatives of it. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about showing the culture, and you had mentioned the jíbaro and the trovadores. Give a little bit of example of what that is, because some of our listeners don't necessarily know what jíbaro música is.
Well, jíbaro music is the folklore music of Puerto Rico. And it's interesting because an old leader of the Puerto Rican festival, a young man who grew up here, sort of was against it because he looked at it as a Christmas music. I mean, talking about not having a good understanding of your culture. And for a long time, that was basically ignored because he insisted that there was Christmas music. Well, that's not Christmas music. Jíbaro music is the music of the people in the country of Puerto Rico. And back in the old days, some of the people that lived in the city used to, you know, laugh at it or ignore it, but that's no longer the case. That, you know, when you hear Ramito sing, which is no longer with us, obviously, it's passed on a long time ago, you know, everybody applaud because of who he was. And the same thing with Maso Rivera, one of the icons of the cuatro. And it's interesting because after 1950 in Puerto Rico, when the Culture Institute was started, one of the things that Ricardo Alegría, the first director and the apostle of the Puerto Rican culture, started was bringing back the Jibaro music and helping to promote the cuatro, which is the Puerto Rican national instrument, beautiful instrument. And all those things is what I'm talking about, música jíbara. There was my parents and my grandparents thought that that was the only Puerto Rican music of Ed. They never listened to anything else.
That's before salsa.
Exactly. Torbador means someone who just like to sing from the community and comes in and sing. And sometimes, you know, you give them a theme and they're supposed to make up some songs and sing. And, you know, and that's beautiful. And that's what Trovador is all about.
Now, Orlando, you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, and I agree with Julio that we probably don't showcase that as much as in the beginning, you know, having the full day of Música Jíbara. However, this is my 10th festival that I've put together, or at least helped put together. And at least every year we have one or two local bands that showcase the Música Jíbara. We've had Trovadores in the past. So we still try to maintain that as part of the festival. To Julio's point as well, because the festival is only 3 days, we try to pack a lot of stuff in those 3 days. So unfortunately, we can't have, I mean, we technically could, but we haven't elected to do that. This year we had, last year we had three local bands for Música Jíbara, and this year we have two, Pedro Nunez, who's a legend here in Rochester,
right, like
when it comes to Música Jíbara, and then also Ecos Borincanos, who's a local band as well, and they're being joined by Iran Martinez, who's actually a trovador from Cleveland. So we're whoever wants to come out and get exposed to that, feel free to come out to the festival.
That's a good point, because you want to know what a trovador is? Come Sunday, is it 2 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. And you see what I mean, what a trovador is.
Okay. We just have a few more moments left in the show, but I'd like you, Orlando, take the last word and tell people what they can, you know, coming out, where are they going to come and what are they going to find?
Sure. So, again, this weekend we're celebrating our 45th annual Puerto Rican Festival at Frontier Field, and that'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Both Friday and Saturday from 12 to 2 is free admission. And, you know, we hope to come out and have people support.
And the parade is on August 2nd. I'd like to thank our guests, Gina Cruz, the Parade Committee President, Orlando Ortiz, President of the Puerto Rican Festival, and Julio Vasquez, the author of The Journey of a Puerto Rican Jíbaro, among many other things. Thank you for joining us on Connections. I'm Michelle Faust, in for Evan Dawson. This is WXXI AM Rochester, WXXI FM HD2 Rochester, and WEOS FM Geneva.